You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The JSE has been open for almost an hour, so it's time for the opening. And I have with me Nick Kunze from Sanlam Private Wealth in Johannesburg. And Nick, the whole oil thing is almost like a distant memory now, because the oil price down around about 6% this morning because the Saudis turned on those spigots and away we go.
Turn on the spigots. I mean, as far as I can call, morning, Lindsay, and morning to your listeners. As far as I can recall, they had 10 drones or missiles, or whoever you want to believe, sort of wiping out 5%, the jugular of the oil industry of the world, wiped it out, and 4 hours later, they fixed it. So they either got the best engineers in the world, or there's another story here. And in fact, I actually saw a note this morning regarding oil, and they said, you know, the Saudi oil minister or energy minister had their press conference last night, and they came out and said they had already restored 50% of their production. It's all hunky-dory. And I saw quite a cyclical note from, I think it was the Wall Street Journal or something, a bit of skepticism, saying, bearing in mind this is a statement from exactly the same government who hired an actor, dressed him up as a dead journalist, Mr. Khashoggi's clothes, walked him out of the Saudi consulate in Istanbul after assassinating him to fake his death. So I'd probably take it with a little bit of a pinch of salt. But needless to say, yes, it all seems to be a bad dream and it's all back to normal.
Isn't that incredible what you've just said? Because it's exactly what encapsulates the Saudi regime, which, of course, Donald Trump and his entourage, his extended family, embrace so much. It says an awful lot about modern politics, I think. Let's have a look at the let's come back to reality now and have a look at Stock Exchange News Service announcements. Afrimat came out with results this morning. Gemfields Group came out with a trading statement this morning at 7:05. Afrimat is a company that you probably don't look at too much at Sanlam Private Wealth, but it's a company that I've always heard good things about, even though it's a small cap.
Funny enough, I'm going to contradict you there, because we actually have, via the different shareholding structures, we have an arrangement with African Rainbow, and Mr. Motsepe is our chairman, as you know, and through them we have an exposure to Afrimat, and someone was actually talking about, though it is a small portion of African Rainbow Capital's holdings, someone was mentioning this morning, and all I could hear was good things, saying, you know, don't discount this company, what they're doing. You know, in this environment, to for HEPS to be up, you know, what is it, what does it say, 167, 170 or something? Per share, you know, not doing too badly. And if you look at the share price like we did this morning on the open, up 3%, 30.84 rand, and year to date up 10%. You know, it's been quite a tough year for some local counters, for these guys to operate in an environment in South Africa and still be up 10% of the year. I guess they're doing something right. So, look, it is a small cap, but I mean, doing some good things.
Yes, indeed. And it deals in aggregates, which are not in demand, but it does well. So it's poised for greatness should the economy turn around.
Sleeping giant, Lindsay.
Sleeping midget, actually. But anyway, Gemfields Group Limited came out with a trading statement. I love shiny things. I'm like a magpie. What do you know about Gemfields?
Not a great deal. As you said, it is one of the smaller caps. I think the market cap, you know, under sort of 5 billion, so it goes under our radar a little bit. But also, you know, factors to watch, not looking so bad. Earnings per share expected to be, you know, a cent or something higher. So also, but look, I'd be surprised if guys like this who operate in the mining space don't get it right, because they've all been in a bit of a sweet spot recently.
Pan African Resources PLC, provisional summarized audited results and proposed dividend for the year ended 30th of June. The share price down in the last 15 minutes, down around about 1.3%. Again, a smaller company, but do you ever look at it?
Personally, no, but I'll tell you this. This used to be, back in the day, and I don't know if I'm showing my age or other markets, but this used to be one of the punters' favorites. Everyone used to, anyone who was involved in broking or trading used to have Pan F, as they used to call it.
Oh, yeah.
And it was always poised for greatness, apparently. Obviously, since it went from back in the heady days of almost, you know, north of Iran, and it's now trading at 12 cents, wherever it is, it doesn't get as much coverage. So, but, also another solid set of results, but very illiquid. That's the problem. And it's difficult to judge what the market actually thinks when volume is so thin on the share.
Don't you think that the JSE should say, if your share doesn't trade 5% of your free float per day or per month or whatever period they prescribe, then you should really reconsider your listing on the JSE Securities Exchange, because it does shareholders a disservice, I think.
Yeah, you know, I've traded abroad for many of a long time of my career, and where the JSC doesn't have and most other exchanges do have is you have market makers. You know, you have guys that are incentivized to make a price on the screen in certain shares, and they're obligated to, you know, be a certain percentage wide between the bid and the offer. And we used to be market makers back in the day when I was trading abroad, and we got incentivized. We didn't have to pay fees for if we made a price in a share that was fairly illiquid, and we provided a double, i.e., a buy on the screen and a sell on the screen.
Yes.
The London Stock Exchange, and while I was working for the Swedish Stock Exchange, they would remunerate us. They would say, okay, you know what, Nick, you guys can trade for free for a month because you're taking a little bit of risk for us. They don't do that on the JSC for some reason, and it's a bit of a head scratch because I think it's exactly what you're saying. If there's a bit more liquidity in some of these shares and some of these companies, you know, it offers another alternative for people because it's a chicken and egg, because those Pan-Af results were actually not that bad. But yet the share doesn't trade, and a client doesn't want to go in there and, you know, cross the double for 3%, 4%, 5% up and buy the share. So maybe that's something for you and Nikki to have a chat next time you have a cup of coffee.
Exactly. The other thing I would say is that the coverage of these companies, these small companies, is spotty, to be kind, actually, yeah, to say the least. Mm. Exactly. So I think if there were more people, more small cap, I think actually there's a gap in the market for a company to be just a small cap asset manager and cover these companies and go, and that horrible phrase, kick the tires and sit down directors.
I'm not being funny, Lindsay. Given how many of the larger caps, I mean, NASPA springs to mind recently, who are leaving our bourse,
yes.
Is there not an interest now on the second tier, which are sticking around in a tough environment and producing the results? And all the top 40 get all the sexy coverage. I think you're exactly right. Maybe there's definitely, so anyone's listening out there who wants to dive into that space, I think you're onto something.
Okay, I'm just scribbling this down now.
Commission to be paid too.
Lindsay Williams, 20%. Thank you very much. Okay, let's have a look at the spot prices prevailing this morning. The dollar rand is 14.64. The British pound against the rand is 18.27. The euro rand is 16.19. And the euro dollar is 1.1055. Let's go down to the all-important South African precious metals prices. The gold price is holding on, clinging on by its fingernails to 1500. It's 1502, which has barely changed overnight. The platinum price is 938.5, $3. I've got palladium at 1603. What have you got, Nick? Because sometimes this is unreliable.
It's 60. Oh, I'll give it a buck. Yeah, 1602, slightly softer.
Okay, Brent crude oil 64.86, which is what? I mean, probably around about 8-9% down from its peak of 36 hours ago.
Yeah, and looking at, as we spoke last night, I look at West Texas as well, also down 0.5%. So oil prices definitely a little bit softer this morning.
I prefer the Brent crude oil because it's a purer crude oil. West Texas Intermediate is almost like a diluted version of the real thing from the North Sea.
The young pretender.
The Dow Jones last night was up around about 34 points. The S&P was a quarter of a percent winner. The NASDAQ up 0.4% this morning. The Dow futures are barely changed. They're down 28 points or something. There seems to be something brewing here because there's not these big 250, 300 up, 400 down moves. So it's almost as though it's marshalling its troops for a move to the upside or the downside.
Well, I mean, let's focus on what the big story is today. I mean, there's only one dominating story on the news flow, even though we've covered quite a bit, and that's the Federal Reserve tonight, 8 o'clock South African time. I mean, get ready, guys. This could be a game changer. You might get your move you're looking for. 8 o'clock tonight, the Fed meet.
So what are you calling? 25 basis points, 50 basis points to the downside, well, in order to keep in line with Mario Draghi?
Oh, it is a difficult one. I mean, 25% marketplace already factoring in. If you look at any single estimate from anyone, it's 25. A small portion of the marketplace calling for 50. But yes, Mario Draghi last week, I mean, certainly raising the ire of Mr. Trump by manipulating the euro, and now we're negative 0.5%. So if the Fed want to play catch up, they're probably going to have to cut too. But putting a little bit of a fly in the ointment is the last few days, some of the data out of America, and the Fed keeps saying we're data dependent. Mr. Powell says we're data dependent. Well, the data dependent that's been coming out has been a little bit of inflation ticking in, manufacturing ticking up, retail sales ticking up, PPI numbers 0.1 better, which outside of a Trump-bashed ECB-driven world, you'd have to say the Fed wouldn't cut. So I don't know, Lindsay, maybe there is this. It might be a bit of a turning point tonight, but there's quite a bit of impetus and weight on what happens tonight. So as you can, I think you can see that in this morning's Asian markets and even on the South African market, a little bit of treading water ahead of that number tonight.
A drowning man clutches at straws. And when you talk about inflation ticking up in the United States, I mean, it's a slight tick. I mean, it's the sort of tick that you slap off your arm if you're in the Kruger Park. Come on now. There's no inflation in the United States. We know that.
Yeah, well, there's been no inflation anywhere for years. So I guess relative, it's a little bit. You know, that's the big thing everyone's been talking about. Where is this inflation? We've been Look, the Japanese have been trying to find inflation for two decades and they haven't. So maybe it is an interesting one, Lindsay. It is.
There is one sector of the Japanese economy that has showed some form of inflation over the last maybe 10, 12 years, and that is adult nappies. The prices have gone up enormously.
Mm. And used panties and vending machines, also huge growth at the subways as well.
Okay, on that very sad note, let's have a look at the the top five up and down according to sharenet.co.za. And while I'm just refreshing my screen, because you're going to give me the live prices at Sanlam Private Wealth. Okay, I've got Pepkor up 2.3%. I've got ShopRite, another retailer, also linked to Pepkor, 2% higher. Barloworld up 1.9%. Haven't seen that on the top board for quite a while. Bidcorp. Mm-mm. Also 1.9%, and that Polish property company as well, up 1.3%. What's happening with Barloworld and Bidcorp and Pepkor and ShopRite? Why is this happening?
It's some big swings. Look, I mean, as I say, we've been quite thin on the data front. We've been concentrating on Saudi Arabia and the Fed tonight. But locally later on this morning, 10 o'clock, we've got inflation numbers out of South Africa. And then this afternoon, 1 o'clock, we've got our retail sales number, which is quite a big one. And this is the day before our Saab meet too. Our retail sales sector, I mean, contrary to what your friends are telling you, how broke there are the shops, it actually still accounts for 60% of South Africa GDP. So quite a crucial point. So maybe that's a little bit reflected and we're seeing a little moves up. And as you said, Pepkor and ShopRite ahead of those retail sales number and the Saab tomorrow. Besides that, there's really not too much to write home about today. As I said, treading water on most of these indexes.
On the downside, then we've got Richemont 4.1% weaker, Motus down 3.1%. CAP is a 2.4% loser. Soko Sun is down 1.8%. And Transaction Capital is 1.75%.
CAP, I can sound clivier because it's actually gone
ex-div. Yeah, exactly. But Richemont, do you think they're looking at Hong Kong and saying, goodness me, something's happening there, and we do a lot of our sales in that particular territory?
That's taking a bit of pain today. But, you know, I heard a bullish argument for them from another sort of camp who have said that the Chinese are so anti-America at the moment that sales in like Tiffany, for example, in China, down 40% year on year. And they are finding that the Chinese are now saying, well, you know what, we're not going to Tiffany, we're not going to support these Yanks anymore. We need a little bit of shopping at Cartier. And Richemont should be picking up the slack. So, look, that's a bullish argument. Although when you turn on the news feed and look at the shots coming out of Hong Kong, it doesn't exactly make you feel warm and fuzzy inside.
Do you think that the wealthy Chinese investor, or rather consumer, says, well, this is an American brand, this is a European brand? Do you honestly think that they have that knowledge and have the time to have that knowledge?
I don't know, Lindsay, but I mean, I'd be surprised. I mean, look, I mean, I have heard the reports, the average high netter in China insists on Cartier. That's their sort of preferred brand, and the average person has four watches. So it is a bit of a different space they play in. But I think they are quite brand aware. Look, where they come from, America, Tiffany's or not, who knows? But look, I think someone's talking their book on these notes that we read, as we always do.
Are you brand aware?
A little bit, I guess. A little bit of brand aware, yeah. I mean, I like a bit of quality, but Cartier is a little bit out of my league. Got to have a word with my boss.
Give us the JSE indices after 65 minutes of trading, please, Nick Kunze.
Okay, so a little bit softer, reflected, following on from Asian markets as well. So we got the JSE All Share currently down 275 points, or 0.48%. The tradable top 40, who watch it more actively, that is down 0.65%, or 333 points. And looking, breaking down into the sectors, we have the financials are the leaders, up 0.5%. The small cap index down slightly, consumer cyclicals, industrials all down, and taking up sort of maybe making us not look as bad as we should be are the energy sector up 0.4 and healthcare up 0.38 as well.
Nick, thanks so much for your time. That's Nick Kunze from Sanlam Private Wealth. And that was the opening. Nick will be back with us for the 5 o'clock shadow, obviously just after 5 o'clock. That podcast was proudly brought to you in association with sharenet.co.za. Visit strictlybusinesspodcast.com and subscribe to receive exclusive content straight to your inbox.